epistle appointed to be read for this, the third Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering befalls your brethren all over the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself, after we have suffered a little while, perfect, strengthen, and establish us. To him is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the publicans and sinners were drawing near to him to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." But he spoke to them this parable, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the desert and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And on coming home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that even so, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over 99 just who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 drachmas, if she loses one drachma, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the drachma that I have lost.' Even so, I say to you, there will be joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Thus, for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning the announcements in the bulletin speak for themselves, except that we omitted one important one, and that is that after this Mass, being the first Sunday of the month, there will be the usual oblate meeting after this Mass. I would like to take this opportunity this morning, first before anything, and that is to thank all of you men, gentlemen, who last Sunday sacrificed yourselves and took part in our Corpus Christi celebration. And all of you that were here last Sunday certainly bear witness to the fact that it was indeed truly a glorious occasion. It was beautiful. It was lovely. It was loving. It was magnificent. And it gave honor and glory to Almighty God. But as I always want to bring to your attention over and over and over again, the celebrations that we have, the holy sacrifice of the Mass that you come here for, and all of the other things that belong to coming to such a place as this, must always important as they are, and I think you realize that we do give importance to these ceremonies and occasions as best as we are capable, as best as we are able. But in every instance, these ceremonies must be kept secondary to the main reason why you and I stand here present at this moment. Last Friday, we celebrated the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I do not say this because I feel disappointment that on such a feast as the Sacred Heart, so few attend this Mass, because I understand completely that it is difficult and for you in many cases impossible to attend these celebrations or these occasions. You know that. And anytime I might make reference to these things, you understand, please understand, that you know where I am coming from. It was a Feast of the Sacred Heart. But before I go on to that, you will notice that there's a tiny insertion in the bulletin this morning for the first time, and it will be there henceforth. Under where the number of the bulletin appears, you will find there a little thought. And I will explain first why it's there. It has come now to where people come here from far greater distances than you. We have one family that is going to begin to come here, not on every Sunday, but on a regular basis, perhaps every couple of months, every 6 weeks or so, as far away as 600 miles away, to be with us, to be with this Mass. They are at home right now. They cannot attend Mass for all the normal reasons that today present, but they're there, and they belong to us, and they're part of our family. They're not the only ones. We have others that travel 200 and 300 miles to come here to Mass, especially in these days when the expense of travel is unbelievable. I've told these people that when that when they make such a sacrifice as that, they are not to put anything in the collection, because what they are doing is far more important than putting anything in the collection. And I mean that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I want you to know that, and you ushers, sometimes when you see that happen, you know where this is coming from. And underneath the number of the bulletin, you will now find in there, and I would like very much for you, each time you take up a new bulletin, that you say that little short prayer. And here it is. O Lord, uphold us and our absent brethren. Our absent brethren. And those that are at home right now, as we sit here in the church, those that are at home right now are praying there. And they are with us because they're not here because they cannot be here. We have reached that point. We are there. And you heard in today's epistle, the devil, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking somebody to devour. Last Friday was a feast of the Sacred Heart. Last Sunday, we gave a public manifestation, a glorious manifestation of the Eucharistic presence among us. It was a glorious thing. It was a public thing. We were all in it together. We were all a family. The procession, you probably couldn't see it. I was running around all over the place. I could see it. It was something. It was magnificent. And it gave glory to Jesus Christ in the Blessed Eucharist. Last Friday was another occasion, a different occasion, a glorious occasion. But it is an occasion, it was an occasion, it is an occasion where really a public manifestation for the observance of that feast is out of place. Because the Sacred Heart and me and my relationship with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, my personal relationship with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is a private matter. And in that heart, wounded, a spear that cut it and cut a hole in it, cut a door in it, cut an entrance in it, is not there for a public manifestation. Because it just isn't proper. And when I look at the Sacred Heart, I look for that opening, that entrance. And it is for me, all by myself. All by myself. It is for me to enter into that entrance. And in that entrance, for me, in the privacy of my own heart, in the solitude of my own heart, to lie down, to lay down in that heart and be in the heart of Jesus Christ. Can you think, my beloved people, anything that transcends that thought? You, each one of you, and that heart being what it is, though yes, indeed, 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 it does not take, it does not allow for public affairs to go into it. That heart is there, infinite in its being, infinite in its love, infinite in its compassion, infinite in its mercy, that at heart is there large enough and tremendous enough to accept and receive each and every one of us, one at a time, to enter in and to be there. What a pity that there are those who will go as far as the entrance of that heart, as far as the doorway of that heart. And they will talk about it, and they will say all kinds of things about it. But for some reason or other, they can't go in. And they remain outside, and they look in the door and see in a very dim way that which those who have succeeded in entering are enjoying. But for them, it isn't. But when we're in that heart, like was brought out in the gospel this morning, we should pray for those that somehow or other, in God's mercy, in God's good time, whenever, even those who at the moment cannot enter in, but must remain outside, strangers, in the dark, in the wind, in the rain, in the cold, and cannot go in because they know that they have not given of themselves everything that that heart expects and asks for. The love that that heart expects and asks for has to be complete. Nothing for me, nothing at all. I must decrease, and he must increase. And we will not ever know what being in that heart is like until we put on the vesture of total love, of complete love, a total giving. Until we put on that vesture, then we can enter in and find out that there is no place, no place at all that will equal that which we find inside that heart. This morning, my beloved people, we're going to repeat the act of reparation that we recited last week. This is a penance, and it should be looked upon as a penance. It is an act of reparation. We, by the grace of God, are in that heart. And we look around, if we may, if we can at all, and we see those that are waiting on the outside, but who cannot come in, because that which that heart requires is not for them. Therefore, beloved people, let us all kneel together and repeat this act of reparation together. It is a penance. And I put it upon each of us as a penance, as an act of true love and reparation for the sins of those who, because of the lack of the grace of God, cannot, do not see the horror of sin. Please kneel. And as we repeat this, be mindful. As I told the men last week, be mindful of what they are about. My beloved people, I say to you this morning, be mindful of what we must be about. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. An act of reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. O sweet Jesus, whose overflowing charity for men is requited by so much forgetfulness, negligence, and contempt, behold us prostrate before thy altar, eager to repair by a special act of homage the cruel indifference and injuries to which thy loving heart is everywhere subjected. Mindful, alas, that we ourselves have had a share in such great indignities, which we now deplore from the depths of our hearts, we humbly ask thy pardon and declare our readiness to atone by voluntary expiation, not only for our own personal offenses, but also for the sins of those who, straying far path of salvation, refuse in their obstinate infidelity to follow thee, their shepherd and leader, are renouncing the vows of their baptism, have cast off the sweet yoke of thy law. We are now resolved to expiate each and every deplorable outrage committed against thee. We are determined to make amends for the manifold offenses against Christian modesty in unbecoming dress and behavior, foul seductions to ensnare the feet of the innocent, for the serious violation of Sundays and holy days, and for the shocking blasphemies uttered against thee and thy saints. We wish to make amends for the insults which thy priests and bishops have subjected by indifference, conscious neglect, or terrible acts of sacrilege, the very sacrament of thy divine love. And lastly, for the public crimes of nations who resist the rights and the teaching authority of the Church which thou hast founded. Would, O divine Jesus, we were able to wash away such abominations with our blood. We now offer reparation for these violations of thy divine honor, the satisfaction thou didst once make to thy eternal Father on the cross, and which thou dost continue to renew daily on our altars. We offer it in union, the acts of atonement, thy Virgin Mother, and all the saints, and of the pious faithful on earth, and the holy souls in purgatory. We sincerely promise to make recompense as far as we can with the help of thy grace, all neglect thy great love, and for the sins we and others have committed in the past. Henceforth, we will live a life of unwavering faith, of purity of conduct, of perfect observance of the precepts of the gospel, and especially that of charity. We promise to the best of our power prevent others from offending thee, to bring as many as possible to follow thee. O loving Jesus, the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our model in reparation, deign to receive the voluntary offering we make of this act of expiation, and by the crowning gift of perseverance, keep us faithful unto death in our duty and the allegiance we owe to thee, so that we may all one day come to that happy home where Jesus, with the Father and the Holy Ghost, liveth and reigneth, God, world without end. Amen. And thus is the act of reparation. May this come from a heart that is full, a heart that sees the clouds that are around us on all of the horizons, that are coming on in, that are actually almost over our heads, and pray that the human race, the heart of man, is capable of looking up and seeing with his eyes that the clouds are dark. My dearest people,